It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. Farmers accused of having slaves, ethics violations, sound transit, long-term care, gun control, prisoners being let out early, vaccinations, and a carbon tax. Those are the things Senate Republican leader Mark Schessler and Senator Steve Oban talked about at a recent news conference. Do Democrats in the state Senate really believe that Washington dairy farmers and fruit growers are slave owners? Farmers would be forced to tell retailers if they're using slaves under a bill in the legislature. Here's Senator Schessler.
The Saldana bill accused the producers of our state of slavery and peonage. Honestly, in this era, a dairyman, tree fruit, berry grower is considered a slaveholder until proven otherwise, or they're guilty of peonage. It's one of the most incredible charges in legislation I've ever seen or heard of.
Schessler says there was a blatant ethics violation by Democrats.
I'll step back to a darker era when the majority party in the Senate used state facilities to conduct a campaign school, then used the staff to help put it together, then had a floor resolution recognizing the recipients of their campaign school they conducted on state time with state resources, with the recognition of the group in the Senate gallery by one of the proponents, which led Senator Billig at my request to cancel use of state facilities that day for yet another segment of their campaign school. Simply a gross violation of Senate ethic rules that should not be allowed to take place. So there will be a complaint to the ethics board over this.
Senator Oban has bills that would make changes to sound transit.
For the last 3 years since SD3 was passed, taxpayers revolted, as I've never experienced since I've been here. I've wanted to get real relief to those CARTAP taxpayers, so advocated the same bill, which would cut that tax by 55%, base it on Kelly Blue Book on a real market rate that most taxpayers understand and have confidence in, unlike this ST3 tax, which is based on a concocted scheme that is based on MSRP and actually been rejected by voters twice. So that's how unused and how unpopular it was, and we've got to provide relief. My other bill that I have sponsored the last couple 3 years, and that is the governance bill that would make Sound Transit Board directly elected by taxpayers. I think if we had that responsiveness, that accountability, that transparency that comes through direct elections, something that's in our nation's DNA, we revolted from Great Britain because we were being taxed without representation. If we had that mechanism for making our leaders accountable to the people, I think we wouldn't have these sorts of abuses and certainly have them continue year after year to the frustration of people and to the undermining of the confidence and trust that we need to have in our agencies and certainly Sound Transit that has such a big, important responsibility to carry over the next number of years.
Schessler says he opposes a bill that would take money out of paychecks to help pay for future long-term care costs.
If we look at this bill, and I'm personally opposed, it is the ultimate teaser introductory rate offer. Wages grew up at about 3% a year, but yet every long-term care cost, whether it's home health or adult family home or nursing homes, go up appreciably faster. This will run out of money. People will realize that they get less than 100 days in a nursing home, that it's really not going to solve their problems, and they have yet another payroll tax to collect. The numbers simply will not work.
We've heard that bill in the Senate, and one of the big selling points was that it would save the state and the feds money on Medicaid. As that program is rolled out and used in the way that the sponsors anticipate it will. And so I'll have an amendment that says if those Medicaid savings rates are realized, that should reduce the payroll tax accordingly. There's no reason we should be forcing taxpayers, employees, in what's a fairly regressive tax, we should be forcing them basically to pay for something that over here ends up saving the state money. So it's only fair, I think, that we would pass some of those savings, if not all the savings, back to taxpayers if in fact those Medicaid savings are realized.
Schessler says Democrats are pushing gun control.
Well, first of all, their talking words are gun reforms, when it's really gun control. I think there's some related to domestic violence and other issues that we can work together on. But the Palumbo concealed pistol license bill, that would be retroactive to every good Washington citizen that has a CPL. They're the good guys. So they want to go back and punish the good guys that have a CPL, play by the rules, rather than focus on areas that we can actually find some common ground on. And people try to illegally buy firearms, they're not prosecuted. We don't enforce the laws we have. Then we have a DOC that lets 3,500 people out of prison early. How many of those were there for firearms convictions? We don't even know.
I want to say a little bit about the Department of Corrections. So Senator Patton and I led an investigation of the scandal that we learned about in late 2015 and investigated in 2016. And there you had not really a glitch in software. You had a management breakdown of the first order. It was clear that for a number of years they were aware that their software was not serving them well. They didn't correct the problem. And over 2,500 individuals were released early that led to crimes and even two murders that would have been prevented had they managed that problem in a much more emergent and serious manner. When we learned that a similar miscalculation error had occurred, and that I learned about it from the Seattle Times, I didn't learn about it from the DOC, that led me to be extremely concerned about what appeared to me to be a lack of forthrightness. This is something that I think the DOC would be much better off briefing the Four Corners as soon as they learn about it, how they're going to deal with it, and what's the extent of the problem that they know at that time. I had a good meeting with the Secretary this morning. Was very pleased with that meeting. We worked out an arrangement where every week they're going to update us on how that calculation, those calculations are going, and if they're discovering additional individuals who were released early or were released not soon enough. So I appreciate the Secretary realizing how important an issue this is, and he's going to brief us. So I was encouraged by that.
Oban talked about vaccination bills in the legislature.
The bill that we had in the Senate, I think the one in the House, is focused just on the measles issue and whether you remove the personal exemption for that. The one in the House or Senate is much more broad. It would eliminate the personal exemption for all of the 11 vaccines. And I think that's one reason why you saw deep concern within the caucus, because it was far broader than, if we're trying to deal with the measles issue, than was necessary. I was taking a look at some of our state statistics based upon the records kept by the schools, and we're actually seeing people taking the personal exemption going down. I don't know if you've seen those numbers. So I'm still trying to understand what is the actual causal connection between eliminating the personal exemption and a real appreciable benefit in actually reducing those diseases. I've looked at other states that don't have the personal exemption. Their rate of disease in these areas, measles for example, is not materially lower than our state. So I want to see the experts show that it's actually the personal exemption itself that, if eliminated, would result in an appreciable increase in health and elimination of those diseases that we're so concerned about. We've had this system for a number of years where we've recognized the three exemptions, and this is the first I've ever heard that we have a major problem beyond just the measles issue.
And Schessler wraps things up with a response to yet another carbon tax proposal to pay for transportation.
The voters have told us twice what they thought of a carbon tax, and we're right back months later. If you use a carbon tax, it's not constitutionally protected like our gas tax revenue. Therefore, you have a problem to begin with. Then you look at where the projects are. It's a pretty good project if you're in Senator Hobbs's immediate area. You get into a lot of the rest of the state, and it's a lousy package.
Find us online at wastateledge.org. Follow us on YouTube and Twitter at WashingtonSRC and on Facebook at Washington Republican Senate Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Senate Republican Caucus.